In a moment, we'll continue our interview with American hero Danny Lane. I'll be right back. Hi, folks. Mark Bowser here to tell you about my friend Danny Lane. Danny Lane is an American hero. In fact, he's a hero of mine. I had the opportunity to sit down with Danny and write a book called Some Gave It All. It's his story as a young Marine in the Vietnam War. In 1968 and 1969, Danny was sent to Southeast Asia to help fight to keep us free. He earned 2 Purple Hearts in that war, among other medals for valor. Now, you may be more familiar with Danny's life as a martial artist. Danny is one of the top martial artists of all time. He's one of Chuck Norris's top black belts and has trained with Chuck Norris for over 35 years. He is a 9th degree black belt. Yeah, you heard me, a 9th degree. He is the real deal. He's a former world kickboxing champion and a 9-time national martial arts champion. Danny Lane is the real deal, and you're going to be excited as you read this story. It's going to be a page-turner for you, as it was for me as I helped him write this. Pick up your copy today. Some Gave It All. Pick it up at a bookstore near you or at Amazon.com, or if you want an autographed copy, get one off my website at markbowser.com. Now, back to Let Me Tell You a Story.
By ourselves. I mean, we didn't really even know where our company was going to be, but we just kept looking for helicopters flying. And generally, they'll shoot up yellow flares in the air, showing friendly fire. So, we made our way to the company sometime during that day. Then once we got there, we got disciplined again because we got lost. So as soon as we walked into the company, they started making fun of us and laughing at us. And the colonel, chewed us out, and he made us go dig a latrine for him. A latrine is like we use a bathroom. And after we dug the latrine, we hooked up with our squad. And then we were told we were going on an ambush by ourselves. It's called a 4-man listening post, but it's nothing more than an ambush. But you're away from the rest of the company, and you're out in the middle of the jungle by yourself. So if you see their troops moving, you alert the other people. So, that very first day, because we were new, we were boots, all that was going on the first day. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. We're having just a little technical blip. That seems clear again. So you're out on a listening post, which you guys are out at, what, about 100 yards from the main company, and your job is to basically be the front lines if the enemy begins to cross over. Is that correct?
We weren't put out there to engage. It's more of a reconnaissance. But, I mean, if they engage you, you have no choice. That particular night, we did get engaged. In fact, I was on watch. And when you're on watch, you're just looking into the dark. You can't see anything. It's so dark, but you're just sitting there thinking. Satura and the other two Marines were kind of behind me, just kind of laying down. I mean, you really can't sleep in an environment like that, but they were kind of laying down, and I was just sitting up. We dug a little foxhole when we got out there. It wasn't very deep, as we realized then. And I was just looking into the night, thinking back, when I was a teenager and having a good time and driving my car, and things were a little bit different. And I heard a pop. It was like a cork pops out of a wine bottle. And I had remembered in training, that's the way that a Chinese communist grenade sounds when they pull the cork out of it and throw it. Then I heard something fly over my head and thump in behind us. So I screamed at the other guys. I thought we had incoming. A grenade blew up right behind us within probably, 5 or 10 yards. Blew a bunch of dirt over us. So we got a little bit of shrapnel. And then they opened up with their automatic weapons on us. So all four of us tried to get in this little tiny hole that wasn't deep enough. And we were just kind of frozen. We didn't really know what to do. And I'm thinking, if we don't return fire or do something, we're all going to die here. So we all stuck our rifles up and started shooting into the dark night. The regimental company heard and could see the tracers. the firefight that we were in. So they shot up some illumination to light up the sky. So at that point, we could see silhouettes, you know, coming at us and moving around. So we got in a firefight. One of our guys got wounded pretty severely. The Greek carried him back to the company as me and the other guys provided fire. So that was all part of that first day too.
Welcome to Vietnam. What a difference.
I wrote that story for Soldier of Fortune back many years ago. It was called it's actually the second day. The first day we were got there, got on a helicopter. And then the second day we were in, you know, in total combat. You grow up fast there. You either die or you learn.
And there were times where you were out, about 3 months at a time in the bush, in the jungle, fighting at night, trying to find them during the day and surviving. What was that like for 90 days? I mean, some people think, well, you just camp them for 90 days. It wasn't quite like camping, was it?
Operation Mead River was a short operation. It was like a little less than 30 days, but we got back in early December or mid-December. We went out on an operation called Taylor Common, and it had three phases to it. It was a search and destroy in one area. Then we were going into the mountains where they had the NVA, which is the North Vietnamese Army, had battalions of troops supposedly staged there. Then our phase three was to go close to the Laos border or Laos border to block the new troops off from coming from North Vietnam down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So we started out in December. I didn't get back until maybe March 21st. So the days I was in combat and in the jungle, I think, was 91 days. It's in my records. During that time, I contracted malaria. I lost about 50 pounds. We were, like I said, put in a situation where we were outnumbered, outgunned, and so forth. We were on a fire base, which was one company, with some artillery. And then we were so close to Laos, we were operating, blocking the fresh troops off. So they had thousands around us. We were pinned down and overrun for 3 days, straight days and nights. We couldn't even get reinforcements in. We couldn't get ammunition in. We couldn't get anything. So we were down to almost our last ammunition. And finally, the Army brought in their big helicopters, dropped us some ammunition, and wasn't a battalion, but several companies of Marines had been dropped off several kilometers before that area, and they hiked in to reinforce us. So that was pretty scary at that time. It's in the book where the sappers would come through our line. We were fighting hand to hand, and once once the code goes down that we're being overrun, it's every man for themselves. I mean, anything that moves, you shoot it. And so it that part's in the book.
And it wasn't just enemy soldiers that you had to fight too. I remember one time you started talking about rock apes, and I had no clue what you were talking about. So I stopped and I go, wait a minute. You know, I have all these history classes and all this stuff. I have never been taught about a rock ape. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys had to fight these gorillas as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what a rock ape is and what did these rock apes, what were they trained to do by the enemy?
Well, we didn't really have to fight them. I mean, there was all kinds of animals. I mean, the snakes were as big as anacondas there. I mean, mosquitoes were bigger than birds. And I mean, it was an environment you could die 100 different ways without being killed by them. But the apes would, they were prevalent in the trees. And I mean, and some of them were as big as some of their soldiers. And so they trained them to, and strapped them up with explosives to run at our lines and either throw grenades or, you know, they would blow themselves up, or the North Vietnamese would blow them up when they got close to us. So, yeah, there were several times that I thought that the enemy was right on top of us, and we started firing, and it was a bunch of rock apes coming at us. So, like I said, in the jungle, you shoot anything that moves. So they trained them, and some were trained pretty good to come and throw grenades, or like I said, they would strap satchel charges on them with explosives, and when they would get close to us, they would detonate them. and use them instead of their own troops.
Now, we're at a very challenging time in our country right now. A lot of race relation challenges, a lot of political differences and so forth. Were there any race challenges when you're in a foxhole with guys? Did race make a difference?
No, I mean, we're all Marines. We're all brothers. We didn't see color. We didn't see black, Hispanic, white. I mean, we were all just Marines. We were all brothers. And there was never an issue. And when I was in the military about race or you know, where we come from and who we were. I mean, most of us in my company, we were poor whites. We were poor Puerto Ricans and Mexicans and blacks. We were the ones that couldn't get in college, couldn't get a deferment, didn't have somebody politically that would get us some kind of deferment to go somewhere. Like some prominent people in our country got deferments. They went to England, and I think some of them even become presidents if you do your research. Some of the famous actors, they defected to Canada. They were draft dodgers. Some of the people changed their names from regular names to a Muslim name and refused to fight because of their religious beliefs. And there are very famous people that did that. If you read history, I won't name names in my interview, but, you know, some of them did that. They changed their name. And once they become Muhammad, then they refused to carry a gun, they were exempt from the Marine Corps.
Join us next time on Let Me Tell You a Story when we continue our interview with American hero, Danny Lane.
Looking for a speaker for your next meeting or organizational event? Look no further than Mark Bowser. Mark Bowser is one of the top motivational business speakers on the circuit today. He is the ultimate storyteller, writing several books including Unlocking the Champion Within, Some Gave It All with Danny Lane, Jesus, Take the Wheel, Sales Success with Zig Ziglar, Nehemiah on Leadership, and the soon-to-be-released Leadership Mastery. Mark Bowser has presented seminars to Southwest Airlines, Princeton University, United States Marine Corps, Dell Computers, Purdue University, FedEx Logistics, and many, many more. Book Mark Bowser today for your next event. Contact him today at markbowser.com.